Hey, what's good, everyone? This is Rich.
And I'm Marcus.
And you're listening to the Paychecks and Balances podcast, where we talk all things work and money with the hope we don't leave you saying, that show was hideous. And this is a Q&A episode featuring a question we definitely have some experience with. You can use hashtag or pound PayBow or hit us up at PayBalances on Twitter. Share your thoughts. Might talk about them on the show.
It literally just hit me that you're freestyling that from week to week. Well done, sir. You got a marketing gimmick going there.
Hey, I'm trying.
And if you found us recently in iTunes and don't think we sound like idiots, subscribe to the show and leave us a 5-star review. And if you've been around, like what you heard, tell a friend.
Definitely, definitely. So the best way for us to grow, word of mouth. You tell people, we reach more people, we help more people. You probably heard us say that many times before. And also, shout out to all the people who've left us 5-star reviews in iTunes recently. It feels like in the past couple of weeks, there's been an uptick.
Yeah. Those are very uplifting. We appreciate those. We really do. And to date, anyway, we read them all.
We do. At least for now. I definitely saw a 4-star creep in there, and I got a little concerned, and I quickly exited out.
Smart.
Yeah. So we have a question from Steven this week.
I currently live in a part of the country where the cost of living is pretty moderate. I'm talking with an employer in CA, that's California, for those of you who don't want to Google, about a job out there. I know the hiring manager personally, and she is great. The job itself is also a great opportunity. The problem is, considering the 10% pay increase I'll be getting at my current job for 2017 and the increase in housing costs alone, I'd see while moving from here to California, I need a 25% increase just to break even. So I'd probably have to ask for a 30% increase with the intent of accepting a 25% if they push back. I think the reasoning above makes sense, but it's reasonable to make a request of 30% or even 25% increase at the new company. I don't want to start salary negotiations off on the wrong foot by going in there with a number that will turn off the employer. Thanks for your help.
This is a good one.
It is.
So first off, I think the ask is completely reasonable, especially when you're talking about going to an area that's going to have a completely different cost of living. And I did this leap from New York to California, and some people would think New York City is the most expensive place in the country. But I got to say the Bay Area is definitely close, if not more expensive. And I got what felt like a significant bump when I signed the offer letter. And when I got here, it still was an increase, but after paying living expenses for a few months, in particular rent, which I've complained about before, I was like, all right, I could see how someone would come out here, see a bigger number, think that they're balling out. But then when they actually get here and they start paying rent and dealing with some of the other expenses, then they're like, all right, that's not as much as I thought. And then also even considering if you live in a state that doesn't have income tax like my friend Wim here does, or your real name. I got to get used to this. Help me.
And yes, there is no income tax in Texas. There's an income tax, but there's no state income tax in Texas. I did have one when I lived in Colorado.
Oh, for some reason, I thought you didn't have the state income tax when you were in Colorado either.
No, I did. Trust me.
All right. Good to know. Yeah, I promise I'm gonna get used to calling you by your real name. I was going to say, and I think I've said it to you offline, that I don't think I've actually used your real name in like all these years. Like it's always just been Wim or Wiz. Even knowing what it is and even knowing that you have a book coming out with your real name on it, it still feels like a foreign thing for me to do.
Yeah, I think it's just been a complete evolution to go from Wisdom is Misery to shorten that to Wiz. Then I went straight TLC on y'all. I went down to Wim. And then, you know, I was like, you know what? If I'm going to put my government name on the book, which will be coming out soon, next month, September 2016, plug, hashtag, that I might as well just, you know what, put the gov name on the show and make it official.
So, all right. You heard it there from Marcus. I'm going to just start saying it during the show just to say it so I can get myself used to it.
Mark is not Mark, listeners. Mark is not Mark.
Someone's going to mess that up and write in and be like, hey, great tips, Mark. You're going to have to hit him back with like,
Mark is not Mark.
But, going back to the question, one of the other things I was thinking about with this is why it's so important to look at salary data, where the position is based versus just looking at a national average or looking at what the position pays where you are. Because You know, if you, I'm guessing that Steve probably did some research on his side, looked in and saw what these type of positions pay out there, factoring in his current circumstances, and was like, okay, I need to ask for this much, which is something that I don't think a lot of people do. They're just like, okay, you know, here's my number. Oh, if they offer me this, I'm good to go. Or, you know, if they offer me something just below, you know, I'll do the math to see if I can take it, versus realistically looking at all of the stuff that you have going on, the market data for where the position is based, and then using that to come up with a range, not just a dollar amount, but an actual range that you'd be comfortable accepting in. So I think one thing I talked about on an episode a while back is when you are in negotiations, rather than saying, you know, I want X, you could say, I'm looking for something in the ballpark of X to Y. And it's a bit of a mental trick, because X becomes the starting point. So they go, okay, here's the lowest amount this person would be willing to accept. And then that amount should really be above the amount that you'd be comfortable accepting. And it sounds like that's what Steve has done here. So I think you're on the right track. Anything you'd add to this one? Good, sir. Marcus, I almost called you Mr. Marcus, and I was like, that's probably not where I want to go with this.
That has a whole nother connotation, and I guess it's also California based. But moving on, I actually just realized as we were talking about this, or I was thinking about it, you were talking about it, that I've switched at least two and possibly three jobs without ever accounting for cost of living. And I was somewhat lucky that I moved within the state in those two instances, but I did move to a city that was a lot more expensive, and it just wasn't on my radar. So I would share for the listener whose name is Steve, and I didn't want to shorten his name after I just gave that whole spiel about shorten mine. So there's three calculators that I've used over the years, and
sorry, Stephen.
I got it right. I said Steve and
I know, but I said Steve all casual, like I know him, and you were like, nah, I'm gonna call him Steven because that's his name. And so I'm like, oh, I guess I'm being that guy, whatever that guy is.
Okay. And those are, and I'll put these in the show notes for the listeners, or the readers in that case, CNN Money Calculator. There's a bank rate calculator, and there's a salary wizard calculator. They all basically do an estimate of cost of living. I'm sure they have some behind the scenes proprietary rules because they come up with different amounts. So when they do that, usually they're pretty close, but I've been on there a few times where it's like a pretty significant range, 5-10,000. So I usually take obviously the largest and go down. So if we're going to do the range, I might take the largest to the smallest. And sometimes I've just calculated all three and I make that my baseline. And so helpful information, bank rate, you know, again, I know it feels like I'm paid by bank rate because I'm always bringing them up, but I am not to date. Bank rate, hit me up. But they're just the most comprehensive. I mean, we're going to talk about on another show. They're so comprehensive, it's almost confusing sometimes. But this particular one's actually pretty straightforward. I think it goes down to price of Big Macs in each individual city. It's a very comprehensive tool. So I would definitely recommend those as you're adjusting for cost of living, either for Steven or other listeners that are thinking about this. Another thing I think is interesting as an exercise, really just to humble myself, I've tried to make sure that my market rate is kind of equitable across the country. So I look at other cities that I might not even be interested in moving to, but I'm like, hey, if I did live there, how much money would I be expecting to make? Because, you know, you hear people talking about like, yeah, I make $250,000. And I'm like, you live in Manhattan, man. Ain't that like $40 to $45 or something? So I like to level set with those calculators from time to time when I'm having those conversations with people who live in different parts of the country. So that's another exercise you can do if you're nosy like myself.
Yeah, and it's super helpful. And I did a little bit of research before I came out here, but looking back, I probably could have done even a little bit more. Now, whether or not I could have negotiated more than I did, who knows? But being able to walk away and know that you asked for everything that you felt comfortable asking for, and you at least put that question out there, that's going to be valuable. Now, along these same lines, I run into a lot of situations where I'm negotiating with people who are based in other states where they may not have a state income tax, or maybe they have a family or they have a house. And then they come out here and they're like, all right, right now I have a 2,500 square foot house. And for me to get a house that is half this size, I would have to pay the same amount of money in the Bay Area. That's something I'm seriously going to have to think about. And usually the people who are more thoughtful are the people that have someone else that they have to think about. Single people tend to be more reckless, which I guess is understandable.
Sometimes you got to do hood rat things.
Yeah. So the other thing that that he mentioned was he was also factoring in his 10% increase that he's expecting in 2017. So I definitely think it's good to mention that, but many companies won't take into consideration what's not in writing. So if you've yet to have your performance review, who knows what could happen between now and the end of the year? Maybe the company even scraps or changes their performance management system or performance management process altogether. So chances are the company that you're looking at, they might go, okay, that's a good data point to have in mind that you're expecting this increase, but it's also possible that they don't take that into consideration. However, you should still be comfortable going forward and making that ask that you were already thinking about asking. I think I said making that ask. I definitely meant ask with a K. Any other thoughts?
You threw me off with that one, but I don't think I had any thoughts anyway. Oh, other than, you know, I always welcome, you know, I have to assume that our advice is good. Either people are too nice to tell us otherwise, but they usually don't circle back around. So I really do mean, hey, listeners, when we give advice, let us know how the story ends. I feel like, you know, it's like the never ending story where we just ride off on Falcor into the sunset, but we never know how it really ends. So feel free to circle back around with that follow-up email, folks. And that goes to the people whose questions we've answered before, unless you stopped listening, which I hope is not the case, because you were too nice to say that what we told you was completely incorrect. Which is also, I'd like to thank you for that as well, because I do have a big ego.
Yes, that too. And if you did have a good outcome as a result of the advice we gave, you know, just jump on over to that iTunes and hit us with the 5-star. I'm sorry, I had to throw that in there. It seemed like good timing for that. But yeah, that's about it for this question. And I did get back to this listener and he said he'll let us know how it goes. So Steven, we really are waiting to hear how it goes. Thanks so much for sending that question over to us. And if you're listening to the show and have questions you'd like to submit for discussion on the Q&A show or one of our regular Tuesday episodes or main episodes or whatever you want to call that, you can email those questions to info@paychecksandbalances.com. I think that's pretty much it for this episode, man.
Sounds good to me.
Cool. So until next time or next question, be safe. We out. Peace.